Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey guys, guess what, Dorothy?
What, Tanya?
This is our 10th episode. Welcome to our 10th episode of The Real Wives in Radio. I'm Tanya.
I'm Dorothy.
And we're excited for today. We're going to start off with the pop-off.
The pop-off.
What happened? Where's our sounder?
Our coworker hasn't made it yet. Okay. He said it was coming.
Okay.
So we'll do it for now.
The pop-off.
This is where we talk about the three biggest pop culture stories that happened in the past week.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
Starting with number one, Captain Marvel. This is the big superhero movie with the first female lead from the Marvel comics.
Okay.
We had Wonder Woman last year. Brie Larson stars in this movie with Samuel Jackson and made a ton of money over the weekend.
Okay.
I got to see it.
And?
I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest.
Why is that?
You know, I'm super into these movies because my niece and nephews are into them, and I was expecting it to be like really, really good. Because, you know, if you've seen a Marvel movie, they set the bar so, so, so high.
Yeah.
And I just felt like this whole entire movie, I was waiting for something to happen. I just kept looking over at Steve and my husband like, okay,
when is it coming?
Exactly.
Like waiting like for what to happen, though?
Something exciting. I just felt like it was kind of boring, you know? And I know that the big setup for this movie was that it's going to set up to Avengers Endgame, the second part of the big Avengers movie. I know you care.
Girl,
you don't care
this. I don't know one thing about the Avengers, these Marvel movies, but yeah. I did hear that it was like a good movie for young girls or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hear. I don't know what it's about. I don't watch these movies.
Yeah. But. Well, she is a female superhero, and they have a lot of good friendship bonds. What I did like about this is that they didn't make her have a stupid sappy love story.
Okay.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Good.
And
it's different.
The strong female friendship between Brie Larson and another character she was in the Air Force with was great. Her mentor was a strong woman as well.
Ooh.
So I did love that.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. Just story element wise, like if you're looking for the plot of the movie and all that stuff, I thought it was just whatever.
Okay.
I am looking forward to the Avengers Endgame, which comes out pretty soon, though. Another big one that, speaking of movies, Will Smith as a genie, the Aladdin trailer finally dropped.
This is the full trailer,
this
right?
This is the full official trailer.
Okay, I just saw this just minutes ago because Dorothy told me about it.
What'd you think?
What do I think about the genie or the trailer or the movie?
The whole thing.
Okay, at first I was like, it's not doing anything for me. I kept watching it. I think it's okay. I understand why people might not like Will Smith as a genie, though, because he is like, I feel like he's too buff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know if that's right, but the way he looks, like the way he's
the CGI is terrible. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is.
Because I'm like, I don't know.
So he didn't want to be painted blue because, you know, being painted blue, it takes a lot of work. You're standing there. I read this the other way. So like, you know, when you're being painted for a movie, it's head to toe. And then the process of getting it on and then taking it off is rigorous and painful and boring. So they decided to CGI him. And him as CGI looks just so awful to me. It looks terrible.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what I saw and that I didn't like.
Right.
I think I did like him when he wasn't blue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When he wasn't blue and a little more normal looking.
And I think that's the saving grace of this movie because when I first saw the teaser, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. I love Aladdin, but this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
But in the new trailer, they show him out of, you know, as a normal person.
Right.
And that's, I think that's going to be way better.
Yeah. And then as soon as they started singing A Whole New World, then I got all the fuzzy feelings inside. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch
You're
this.
You're sucked in.
I'm going to watch it.
All right. Story number two.
Okay.
Tanya, I think you will be so excited about this because this is breaking as of Tuesday at 11:30.
Oh my gosh.
Britney Spears musical. Yes.
You're lying. How do I not know about this?
It just came out. So it's going to be not a musical about Britney's life, but it's going to be a modern day fairy tale story.
Okay.
Featuring Britney's biggest hits.
Get out of here.
Swear. So you need to book your plane ticket to Chicago. It's going to start in Chicago. Okay. And hopefully it draws a big enough crowd to move over to New York to be
Girl,
Broadway.
You know I ain't got money to fly to Chicago to see a musical.
Get a bus ticket.
Damn. Oh, it's going to come to San Diego, right?
It is. No,
we got to put it out there.
Yes, we'll put it out there. It has to do well enough in Chicago to get picked up in New York and then go on the traveling show.
It's gonna do well in Chicago, is what you meant.
Yes,
it's going to do well. What you
I'm
meant.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you, thank you. That's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's gonna be amazing.
What songs do you have to hear in the musical?
Well, She's So Lucky. Oops, I Did It Again. My favorite, When Your Eyes Say It. That's one of my favorite songs. Okay. Toxic. I mean, how long do we have?
So all of them.
All of them, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's going to be called Once Upon a One More Time.
Oh.
Great, so, great, great,
I
run,
love
right?
That.
Yeah, yes.
I'm sweating. It's hot. Okay. This is great. Great news.
Story number three.
Oh, you're very good at that.
Oh, thanks. Okay. I'm working on it. this is the biggest news that came out of the weekend. J-Lo getting engaged to A-Rod.
Yes. It's about time you put a rock on that finger.
Aren't they just the cutest couple?
Can I just say something really quick, too? I was in Vegas this last weekend, and the news broke, and we were on Instagram. I was about to get into a pink Hummer stretch limo. Okay, literally, it's a true story. My sister-in-law can tell you. I was about to hop in, and when I saw that Instagram post of her ring, I was like, oh my God, that's so great. And, you know, I had a couple cocktails, and so I'm like, super loud, but it's Vegas, right?
Yeah.
This guy walked by me and said, shh. First of all, it's Vegas. Yeah. Second of all, who shushes someone? Third of all, J-Lo just got engaged.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a big deal.
Exactly.
It's a big deal. By the way, this part you won't like.
No.
Did you see Jose Canseco tweeted that A-Rod has been cheating on J-Lo with Jose's ex-wife?
Okay, now why is he saying this? Does he have proof?
Clout chasing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think that's what it is. He's
that's
just trying
exactly
to he
what
is
it
just
is.
Trying to get some clout. He says he was there when A-Rod called his ex-wife one time and blah blah blah. I don't know, man. Jose Canseco, let's be honest, he does not have the best track record of being honest. I'm pretty sure he cheated in his career, so
I think we know.
Yeah, so yeah.
Well, I hope that that's not worrying J-Lo. God, she just deserves the best.
She
Come
does.
On.
This is going to be her fifth engagement, by the way.
Yeah, we don't need to remind people.
It's okay,
Dorothy,
because
okay?
She believes in love.
She does.
We support our girl.
We do.
The ring is a 15-carat emerald cut.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at it, and I saw that I needed some mascara. I mean, like, I could see my reflection in it. It was crazy. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. The ring is worth around, they say, they're guessing, because J-Lo hasn't come out and said, but around $1.5 million.
And she deserves it.
Which brings me to a fun little game of who's the bigger baller. Let's compare J-Lo's engagement rings.
Okay,
shall we?
Okay.
So who gave J-Lo the bigger ring? Ben Affleck or A-Rod? Let me give you the stats on Ben Affleck's ring that he gave her.
Okay.
He gave J-Lo a 6.1 carat pink diamond solitaire Harry Winston ring.
This is Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck, when they were engaged. They never got married, just engaged. Who's the bigger baller? Ben Affleck or Alex Rodriguez?
Oh, well, I don't know anything about diamonds, really, except the one I have on my finger. Okay. I'm going to say Alex Rodriguez.
And you would be wrong.
Oh, Ben Affleck?
Yeah, Ben Affleck's 6.1 carat pink diamond ring is valued at $2.5 million.
Damn.
A-Rod's 1.5.
I would have thought that Alex Rodriguez would have done his homework and been like,
absolutely.
I need to one-up this guy, right?
I mean, anytime, I feel like you should absolutely, you need to one-up the ex, right?
Okay. So.
All right, who's the bigger baller?
Uh-huh.
Alex Rodriguez or Mark Anthony? He gave Jennifer Lopez an 8.5 carat blue diamond ring.
Dang. I'm going to say I'm gonna say Mark Anthony on this one.
All right. So we all know Alex Rodriguez was 1.5 mil.
Yeah.
The ring that Mark Anthony gave Jennifer Lopez was worth $4 million. You are absolutely
damn.
Right.
Damn. Well, you said blue diamond or something like that. And I'm like, that just doesn't sound right. So I know it's gotta be expensive. So oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Well, she has two kids with him, so you know, good enough.
And right.
Hope she kept
but
that
come
ring.
Come on, Alex. You're the new man.
That's all right. Maybe he doesn't have maybe he doesn't need to prove himself. He knows that their love is real. They're going to be together for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Right,
hopefully.
Dorothy?
Hopefully, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. She's giving me the death
eyes. Did you
just
say hopefully?
No, I mean it. Yes, oh, she is. Jennifer Lopez is. I'm sorry. Don't kill me right now.
You know what? You know, that's my girl.
I know.
That's my girl. So.
That rounds up our pop-off. Now we are going to get to someone extremely special that we are both so excited to talk to.
Yes, we have Dana, host, superwoman.
That's right.
Friend of ours from Alt 94.9, Dana and Jason. Yay. Hi, Dana.
Thank you guys
welcome
for having
to the
me.
Podcast.
You guys make me happy. I was like, I feel emotional just seeing you guys talk.
Aww.
It's awesome. Aww. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's fun. We're having fun.
We definitely
can tell.
Are.
We are. It's so genuine.
Thank
it's
you.
So genuine.
Thank you. Well, and speaking of genuine, you are one of the most genuine people. And I mean that truly. I would not say it if I didn't mean it. That I've ever met, Dana, and it is so special to have someone like that in this world.
Absolutely.
Which is radio.
Okay, fine, I'll cry on this podcast. That's what you want. Gonna fall apart.
No, I still remember meeting you when I was still at Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everybody kind of knew that things were going down and it was not going to end well for that station. And you were just there for me in ways that a stranger did not have to be there for me. Mm-hmm. And we connected and I felt like a connection with you and I was just like, man, she's special. And it's so rare to find, we've talked about this before,
absolutely,
supportive, special women in this business, which is sad.
It's true.
You
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
Yeah. I never had a female mentor or anything like that, or really I never felt a sisterhood till later in my career. So, and it was just really due to a lack of women that were around.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Oh, which is even more upsetting. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then finally, when I met my radio sister, like back in 2006, Amanda's her name, it was like this connection I needed in radio because you really do need that support. And I see that with you guys. And I remember seeing the two of you and admiring you guys from when I was in New York, when you were working with AJ and I would see all the amazing things you were doing. And I could tell the friendship between you guys, even on social media. And I'm like, they're doing great things in San Diego.
Aww,
yeah,
my
I would always see that.
Yeah,
I would always see that. It's very real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that I admire most about you is being a woman and being like the female lead of a morning show. That is so rare. Before you, I never even heard of a woman having her name before our guys.
Crazy. I've heard of someone that's tried, but not someone that's actually doing it now
for
so long. So tell us.
Yeah, how'd you
how
get there?
That happened? Well, hosting was something I never planned because I didn't think it was possible. Because like you guys were saying, you don't see it happening. So I didn't have anybody to look to think, oh, I could do that one day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I was not satisfied being a co-host because I think that's the most fun role because you're the reactor. You're the one that gets to have the funny line. Mm-hmm. You get to react to the story. Mm-hmm. And it's fun being that role. So I worked with some great hosts in my career. Back to my first one when I was 21 years old, a senior in college, when I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and they gave me a chance, pulled me out from overnights and put me on the morning show. So this man, Danny Myers is his name. He's in Norfolk, Virginia now. He became my mentor. And I had great experiences, but when I got to BLI, what happened was, and that's the station I worked at in Long Island for 13 years.
Okay.
Maybe 12 years, something like that. But I was there for 6 months, maybe 5 months. And then all of a sudden, the man that I was hosting with, he had been on the station for 25 years, celebrating 25 years at a radio station, a legend in the market. And the radio station decided to make a change. They said, we brought you in. So I didn't know anything. My radio career had been all of 2.5 years at that point. Mm. And they said they pulled him into a meeting I knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 25, 26 years old. And they let him go.
Mm.
And I was
only
there for 6 months. And they said, they called me and they said, we let the host go. His name was Steve. And they said, can you host tomorrow?
Oh my, what was going through your head in that moment?
No. And so I just cried. Not to them. I said, sure. I mean, yeah, I can do that because I hosted when I needed to because
right.
somebody wasn't there.
Right.
But I had never held it down. And I was like, for how long?
Right.
And when are we going to get a new person? And when am I going to get the new host? And in my mind, I never thought it could be mine.
Mm.
So then I was in this position where I said, I'm going to do everything I can do so that I don't disappoint anybody. That's my personality anyway. Especially at that time, I was very insecure and just very worried about pleasing everyone.
Mm.
So that night, I prepped like my life and job depended on it. And I went in the next day and I hosted the show with one other person, the guy sitting next to me, my co-host at the time, Randy, who then became the second chair on the show when I got cast as the host. It wound up being, I would say, like a 7-month audition.
Wow.
Every day was an audition. And that's what I treated it like. They never said that.
Right.
They were bringing in other male hosts, and the chemistry just wasn't there. I couldn't see how that show would work. And it wasn't my decision either. It was like a cast of people deciding. It was my boss, the station manager. There's three bosses. Then there was, you know, regional people that had a say. And I only had one vote. But I never felt it with anybody that came in. But I really felt it with my partner at the time. That was my co-host.
Mm.
And after about 7 months, they brought me into a meeting and offered me the full-time position.
Oh, my God.
That must have been so mind-blowing. And to be that young and to have that position, to be a host?
Yeah, I was 26.
Wow.
26. And I couldn't believe it.
I mean, they obviously asked you to do it. They wouldn't have asked you to do it if they didn't see something in you. So, you mean, you got to pat yourself on the back for that.
Well,
you know?
I thank them. Even when I left that job a couple of years ago, I just said in my exit interview or whatever it was, I said, thank you for believing in me because I didn't believe in myself at that time. I really didn't. I didn't think I could do it because I'd never seen it done by a woman. And I also didn't know how it would be received at the time, or I just had so many insecure thoughts that it just seemed like... But you did it.
I did it for 6 months.
You did it.
I wouldn't say I co-hosted with Sonic is what I think I did. But also, you're right. Like, it was hard to do not knowing any woman that had done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is like a male-dominated industry.
Totally.
So it's even like hard to go up to a man and ask them. I don't know. I just always felt like dumb. You know? I don't know. That's just the easiest way I could say it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel capable.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna say no to it.
Right,
you know,
were gonna do it.
I was gonna do the damn thing, but I did feel insecure.
Yeah,
a lot of the time,
and I realized at the time too that I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized later that I wasn't trying to work harder than men or show that I was better than men.
Right.
I was trying to show them I was better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just would work 4 times harder than I ever thought I could, just so I would prove to them that they didn't make a mistake by letting me have the chance. And I think that's been valuable because I kind of have had that attitude all throughout with any opportunity that I've been given. I'm like, okay, I'm going to show you that it was the right thing. You made the right decision.
So how many years has it been now since you got the main hosting gig?
The main hosting was, I think, 2007. So,
And at what point did you finally feel like, I can breathe, I've hit my stride, I know exactly what I'm doing?
There was a point when it turned that I knew that I owned the fact that I wanted to host. I never even felt secure about saying that because I was like, I don't want them to think that I think I'm better than men or I think I deserve this more than someone else does. But there was a point where I couldn't envision myself being the second chair. There was no one I could think of that I was like, oh, I wish I could be the co-host to that person. And I'm not saying that there isn't someone out there. I just couldn't think of anybody. So I kind of felt like I want to host.
Yes.
Especially when I had a phenomenal co-hosts.
Mm.
My co-host now is... my heart. I love Jason so much, and he's been such a supporter. He will love it too.
I love the bond, the friendship that you guys have, because you guys truly are best friends. I mean, you co-host every single day together. You guys are neighbors.
Yeah.
You moved across the country
together. You leave work together. Yeah. It's true. It's true. That's something, one of the first things I ever told you, like, okay, not only is it rare that we have a woman in the host position, right? Awesome. Not rare that she's amazing and sweet to everybody, but then you have this special bond with your co-host, which I feel like we've seen a lot growing up in radio.
Oh,
That's just not the way it is.
Oh, yeah. There are some shows that can't stand each other and can't wait to just, when 10 o'clock hits, bye.
Yeah. You know? Don't even hang out on the weekends. Yeah. Don't even, and you guys do everything together.
We do a lot.
And it's not fake.
It's real.
It's so real.
But be honest, don't you ever get annoyed with each other?
Yes.
Of course, right?
And we've had to have hard conversations too, because when we decided we were not going to renew at our station in New York, so they found a show to replace us, and I thought we were going to have 6 months more than we did, but they let us go early. And then Jason and I had to make the decision, how long are we going to sit out?
Yeah.
At what cost to our families? Where are you willing to go? I had opportunities by myself. He had opportunities by himself. But we made the decision to stay together. But it wasn't always easy conversations, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been through some hard things, too. But, yeah, he's been such a good friend.
But those hard things are the things that make your bond
stronger.
Good and strong. And, you know, and there's just not a lot of people that are willing to have those conversations or to not think about just themselves.
Yeah, we talked about it with Tammy. It's the loyalty. Loyalty that you guys have between each other and the love, honestly.
There's a lot of love. I mean, he is a member of our family. When he moved to Long Island, where we lived in New York, he didn't have his fiance with him. Mm. So he was doing long distance. So it was one of those things where sometimes people will say it's an open door policy, but you really have to invite that person in and show them, because you can say that, but do you mean it? So for Jason, he knew that he was invited to dinner every night, any night he wanted to come, and he just became a part of what we did every day. Mm. And then he was taking care of our kids with us, driving, helping me. And I was just, he just became a part.
I love
that. Yeah, it was very, very weird.
I just love
but
that.
But awesome. I felt very blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
You are very blessed. And you both are. He is too. He's blessed to have you in his life and you in his life. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, okay. And so where in your career, because I want to move on to kids now, because Dorothy,
this lady, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
It's so awesome.
Dana. Mm.
Dorothy is what I like to say with child.
With child.
She is. So
I know, so old school. I'm such a grandma. Anyway, when you did, you have how many girls?
Three girls.
How old are they?
Oh my gosh.
We have a 9, we have a 6, and a 4.
So close in age.
Those little two.
Yeah.
Didn't know that would happen. Oh, it happened.
I love that. Yeah. And they're beautiful and
they're so
sweet.
Yeah,
and
they are. And you're a cool mom because you let them like have a little hair dye in their hair. Like a little pink or a little purple. Like that's so rad.
It's pretty fun.
You let them be themselves.
Yes.
I do. I try to. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I do try and let them be themselves and do that little expression stuff that I don't think hurts them in the long run. I try not to be too serious about things. And I try and think of when I was that age, how much would I have enjoyed that? And so little stuff I don't sweat usually. But I am strict about other things.
Oh.
Like what?
TV.
Okay, that's good.
I'm so strict about it. Well, our TV broke. We had like a broke down TV and it broke and we still haven't replaced it.
So you don't have a TV?
Not right this second. We are talking about getting one.
How are the girls reacting to that?
It was hard at first, but they've been so good about playing with each other that I honestly feel like, okay, it's been like not quite, no, it's been about 3 months that we haven't had one.
Wow.
I
love that.
And they've been really interesting with it, because at first they would be asking for it a lot. Now they just know we don't have it and they're playing. But I think what it taught us is we can make it a little more measured. And I'm strict about, I believe whatever you put in is what's going to come out of you. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't want them to watch stuff where girls are being nasty to each other.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Because you see it, and I think to myself, where do they learn that? If right. they see them on, I don't know what channel, Nickelodeon or whatever, and they're not being nice, you don't know how it affects them.
Right. No, and it will, absolutely. It will. Yeah. It influences the kids a lot. And they're already going to be influenced at school.
They are already.
And exactly. The people that they hang out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So why not hold that back from them as much as you can? I mean, yeah. I love that you don't have a TV. I wish I was strong enough to not. I don't have a TV in my room. That's a start.
That's a
start.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a big thing. Yeah. Yeah. We are going to get one. It was just like, let's see. It was almost like a dry January.
Yeah, I love that.
But it went long.
Good.
Went long.
Until they really start noticing, right?
Right.
So when you got pregnant, yeah. were you worried about like, okay, how much maternity time should I take? Am I going to come back yes. to a job, or are they going to try to replace yeah. me? Because that's the thing I worry about.
Yes, mm-hmm. you wonder how invaluable you are, and you know that legally they can't do that.
Right.
But, yeah, it sucks. You feel a little insecure. I remember feeling that way, and I remember thinking, I can't take a long time. I wasn't the healthiest person when I got pregnant, as far as, not physically, I mean just mentally. Mm-hmm. I was definitely a workaholic, again, trying to prove myself, trying to please everybody at work, and living for my career ultimately. And we got surprised when I got pregnant in 2008 with my daughter, and I don't think I was mature in a sense that I was, quote, ready to be a mom. I don't think you ever are like thinking you're so ready, but I was definitely not in a place with my career and the way I was treating my life where I would be the best mom I could be, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. I only took 6 weeks off, and I still continued to grind, like show prepping and going so hard and spending a lot of time working on this thing I was trying to do. And that was just the first 2 years that I was a mom were very hard because I was still living for my career, really.
Yeah. Well, okay, so looking back,
yeah.
right, would you have done anything differently? I mean, because the hard work that you put in all those days, I mean, they got you somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would you do anything differently?
I think that I wish. So there was a point in 2012 where I was sitting in a meeting and I had this click. It was a revelation. I would say it was a moment where I realized you're living for this and it's your identity. All you do is view yourself through this lens of, this is my career. My name's Dana. I do radio. I do this show, and I'm so proud of it. And I work so hard, and look at this shiny thing and whatever. And I was like just living for people's approval. And then I had this moment of realization in a meeting where I realized it could all be taken away from me mm-hmm. in a second, and everything would change. And then what did I just spend all my time doing? And then what would happen? And it just made me... I said that day, it was 2012, and that's when my life started to change. And I stopped living for that. And so I would say there has to be more of a balance. And if I could have told my 20-something-year-old self, I would say, don't make that your identity because it will leave you empty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I feel like we see that with a lot of people in radio.
Oh, absolutely.
It's easy to fall into that, you know?
Yes. Right. Well, and especially being a woman in radio, too, I feel like we have it extra hard because guys get a lot of an easy pass a lot of times. And we as women have to work twice as hard, if mm-hmm. not harder.
We're trying to prove something.
Exactly.
Even if other people don't think that, we think we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's been what we've seen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what you mean.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow. Okay, well, and then not only do you have three beautiful girls, mm-hmm. you've been the host of a show. I mean, you just mark,
right?
All the good things, okay?
Career aspirations.
Seriously. Hashtag goals.
Yeah, okay? Hashtag goals.
You are married, and you've been married with your husband mm-hmm. for... You just celebrated your 15
years.
Congratulations on that.
That felt
I
big.
Know. 15
that,
years,
I know, that
Dana.
That felt really big to
I'm
say
not gonna,
it.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw Jason sent, your co-host Jason, sent
He's
an
so
email
extra.
To all of San Diego Entercom.
That's ridiculous.
And said to wish you a happy anniversary, which I thought was really sweet. And he said 15th, and I'm like, oh, he's joking. Like,
right.
That's a joke. Like, I think he's exaggerating. And then you posted on Facebook a beautiful dedication to your husband.
Very honest.
Yes, very honest, very real, and very transparent mm-hmm. about it not being the easiest 15 years, but it's good now. You're happy where you are now. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I would say, brutal and earth-shattering when I got married and realized after a short engagement and not a long time of dating that what if I married the wrong person? And I was wrestling with that by myself, and that was so embarrassing, and the shame associated with that, if I actually had to admit that, I would have felt so embarrassed, and I just couldn't imagine saying it, but I was having such a tough time being married because I realized we didn't know each other very well when we agreed to spend the rest of our lives together. So we had different styles of communication. His not being very, he wouldn't talk a lot. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't tell me his feelings or his thoughts. He would keep everything inside. That's his personality type. Mine is to express every emotion and experience the full range on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, I was a loud Italian from New Jersey. I am that. And he just did not grow up like that. He didn't grow up with a family that raises their voice or yells or anything like that. And then we didn't express our emotions well. Mine were maybe too much. His were not enough. And I was really selfish and immature, and we didn't have the same interests. We didn't find the same things even funny. So I think I was swept up in the romance of dating and knew he was the one in my head, and mm-hmm. I was committed to that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this is a mess. Mm. And I don't think we are going to last. He's not like the guys I dated before. So I said to him one night in tears, you should have married someone like you, and I should have married someone like me. Mm. And he agreed. He felt that sentiment. He knew what I was saying, and he said, yeah, that might be easier. But I said, you don't talk to me, and I can't be in this marriage with somebody who doesn't communicate. And he just said, help me change.
Wow.
And I had never, ever heard anyone say that something like that before. It was so humble. And I will never forget. I remember where I was when he said it in our apartment after a couple months of marriage. And he said that, and I had only expected him to be defensive, yell back at me, accuse me of something else, because that's what we do.
Right.
And also,
right. It's never me, it's you.
It's you.
Right.
And culture tells you, it's take me as I am. I'm not changing.
Yeah.
You don't have to change. Why should you change? They should change or get out. And he didn't do that. And so it made me feel like I remember just being blown away. And then I felt safe enough to say, okay, help me change too then. So then it started.
That's your turning point.
Turning point of the marriage. And I believed him because it wasn't, he didn't say that with empty words. He meant it, he backed it up. And it was continued hard conversations, or you're not telling me, like, I don't know what you think, I don't know what you feel. There had to be a lot of that.
Yeah.
But then things slowly would turn. And I remember feeling like we got to another plateau. And then this is improving, that's improving. I personally still had such a long way to go because I was so insecure and needy from a person who didn't want to give emotion. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of work to do on myself, mm-hmm. but the marriage started improving. But we even went through marriage counseling when we were living in New York right before we moved to San Diego 3 years ago. So it's continuous.
So what's the biggest thing, I guess, that you've learned from your marriage? Like, what makes you guys work, something that you guys need to have?
We would not work without faith. It wouldn't work without us having a foundation of just knowing God, knowing Jesus. That has been, it's because what I see in him are characteristics that I see in Jesus. I see someone who's humble, someone who's unconditional love, someone who's putting me before him. And that is,
sacrifice.
It's so selfish and sacrifice and all those things. So it would go back to that. We had that in common, and we just built on this thing. And it's been that we've always clung to. Mm. So there's been a lot of work on both of us individually ourselves, but in our marriage, that's been the foundation of it, is our faith for sure.
Gosh, I can't. I know. Just so much growing and lessons and
it's
learning.
Still growing
right.
And so much.
And it always should be that way,
right?
You know, because if you're not, then what are you doing?
Right.
You
exactly.
Know? I just have to thank you because you saying that you had a thought of maybe I didn't marry the right person. I can't. I mean, I've had friends and family yes. members that have said that, and I know, or we've thought it about, and they don't want to admit it. You know, it's a hard thing to come to and actually realize, or yes. or,
to
think
say it
out loud. or think of. Yeah,
brutal.
So thank you, and then just thank you for being so open and honest about your relationship, because I don't feel enough women are, you know, they you're not saying it's trash. You're not saying like it's been horrible. You're not saying, I mean, you truly are taking the bad with the good, and you are learning from all of it and you're telling us. So thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, you guys know, cause you're married and you're in relationships that you have to fight for it. You have to be for each other.
You have to.
I mean, that's just so key. And I also think it's so... One thing I hear a lot, you guys probably hear this too, is when it's not going to work if your spouse isn't for you, or they're jealous of anything,
yes.
or if they're insecure about stuff. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
They have to be a fan of you, and you have to be their biggest. It's that too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
The support. You definitely need to support each other for sure. Was it hard for him to have to move with your job?
Four times. Yeah, it has been. I mean, it has been really hard, especially San Diego's been the hardest because, I mean, there's been hard things about each one, but my husband is a structural engineer. So the bottom line is he can't do what he was doing in New York for 13 years in California because you need separate licensing and stuff like that. So he just took a test for it. But the bottom line is it was all different in California, but he did it anyway. So and he's had to adjust his schedule and life because of my schedule, because I am up at, you know, 2:45 in the morning and I'm tired and I don't want to go out during the week, or just things that are the not so pretty sides of this job. He has to also be okay with me talking about our relationship on the air. His only rule is if it's true, it's fair game. Don't make anything up, and no over exaggerating. He's like Italian from New Jersey. Calm it down. But yeah, it's been hard to move because we leave. He's picking up everything for me, and that's his selflessness again and sacrifice. It's
what a good amazing. Man!
Shout out to your husband.
I want to meet this guy.
Yeah, we need to all go out for drinks.
Absolutely.
The men.
We do.
Triple date.
I think we all. I mean, and I can say for Dorothy too. Like, we have pretty supportive, awesome, selfless men.
Absolutely. Because you're right. It wouldn't work otherwise.
No. It takes a lot to be with a woman in radio.
Yeah,
it really does.
A strong woman in radio.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And to be okay with us putting our stuff out there, like our relationship stuff out there.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay with this, right?
I didn't even ask him.
But it's the truth.
But it's all true.
Oh my gosh.
You guys are the best. This is an honor. It's such an this place is unlike. I've met the best women. Met the best.
Same. Agreed.
I've met the best.
1,000% I really do feel like we have a strong sisterhood here at Entercom San
Diego.
Really
do.
We're lucky.
We're very lucky. Mm-hmm. It's, again, rare. I just feel like it's either rare, or I just feel like radio, women in radio as a whole, it's just not expanding, but...
growing?
No, another word for growing, but yeah, growing.
Boom. We'll take that.
Great part. There is something I have to ask you.
Oh, perfect.
Because I was listening to Alt 94.9 the other morning on my way to work.
Okay.
And I was listening to you and Jason, and you guys were talking about your anniversary and how he was like, you need to do something. And she was like, but what? I have to go to sleep like at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's like, no, you need to spend some time with your husband. This is Jason, of course. Mm-hmm. And she was like, and then I feel like they were making fun of you because you were scheduling your time.
So the deal was Jason offered me a window.
Right.
So I was going to make it happen in that window.
Yeah. Okay.
And the sad thing about it, I would say the saddest part probably was that it was like at 3 o'clock in the middle of the day, but I still got it done.
Who cares?
Jason took the girls. And so I was like, let's do this and then we can go to dinner. We had a really good time. It was super chill, but I think when you get to speak and connect uninterrupted by children, I never realized that that thing I took for granted is so such a treasure to me now.
Your alone time?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just had 6 hours of uninterrupted time together, and it was amazing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 6 hours.
Of sex. Oh, that's goals.
Okay,
that's
Kevin.
That's goals.
Is that goals? I don't know.
Something.
Alone time.
Oh, that's good, Dana. I'm glad that Jason took the kids from you. That's so nice to have a built-in babysitter.
He's
pretty
taking
much.
Them tomorrow too.
Oh.
He's doing this on the regular because he wants to quote fix my sex life.
That's he said so he didn't need it.
But so, you know, yeah. So you're pro scheduling then?
Because I don't want to, but if I know I have a window on Wednesday, I'm gonna.
Why
do,
not? Right?
I'm pencil that in.
Okay. Okay. Are you a pro scheduler? Are you just like let's just let it happen however?
I think Steven would prefer to me to be a pro scheduler because most times I'm like no, I'm feeling gross right now.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, it's on the schedule.
We got to right now. This is our time. You know what? I should try that.
Yeah. You know,
because I haven't tried it.
JJ and I are doing that more. Just
you're
because
scheduling it?
We're scheduling it more only because I'm trying to have a baby.
Oh,
so I'm
are.
Like, we want to make sure we have
in.
Sex this day. And if
not,
we don't this day, then
not,
the next
not
day.
Not intended.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Getting it in.
Exactly.
Yeah, boom. Yeah.
So we don't always, you know, because if we feel like it, then we feel like it, you know. But there are days where I'm like, we have to.
It has to happen.
Yeah. Because, well, right now in my pregnancy phase, we talked about it a little bit. What? Like, I don't have, my sex drive isn't what it was.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm kind of going through that right now.
That might change. In another trimester.
Oh, yeah. Wait, okay. Steven, you just wait, okay? You just wait.
Exactly.
Good to know, Dana. Thank you.
Yeah,
he's
saying,
probably so happy right now.
Pregnancies, PS. That's what I can contribute to that.
I love that. It's been so awesome having you on.
You guys are a joy. I would love to talk to you anytime.
Oh,
hey.
Even after the mics are off.
Seriously. Be careful what you wish for. We're gonna steal you from Jason.
That's perfect. Steal me. I love this girl.
Oh,
time.
And then we gotta have Jason on because
yes,
he's gonna get so mad if we don't have him.
Oh
on.
Yeah, he's gonna want to be a guest. He wanted to invite himself into this one. Here. No.
Oh my God, I love
well,
him.
Dana, thank you so much for being on. You guys can catch Dana in the mornings on Alt 94.9, Dana and Jason, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. And how can everybody follow you on social media?
Oh, you can follow me at Dana DiDonato, DiDonato, on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, I love it. And I love following you because then I just love everything. But then I really love watching you be a mom. Like, you're
absolutely
such a good mom.
You are.
Again,
you
goals.
Are.
Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah.
Goals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tanya, how can everybody follow you?
At I'm Tanya Gonzalez. And Dorothy?
At Dorothy on Air.
Yes. And you can follow us at Real Wives in Radio on Instagram, Facebook. Again, like us, love us,
subscribe,
leave a comment,
on iTunes.
Subscribe, tell your friends, tell, you know.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Gotta throw in that plug.
That's right. iTunes. But they're listening on radio.com and iTunes right now. So
yeah. Spread the love.
Yes, tell everybody. And please give us another star because I think we still only have one star. Star.
It's your mom.
My mom. My sweet mom. She literally will write a post about almost every episode, summarize it. Oh, she's so sweet. I love her.
Mom.
And I didn't say.
You didn't say
I didn't
it.
Say the words.
The words.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can listen back to last episode.
Episode 9.
She did text me. She did text me and say, thank you for not saying that. I'm like, you're welcome, mom. I got in trouble, Dana.
Oh, yeah.
Age 33, I got scolded by my mom for saying a word too much.
Well, don't do it again.
I won't. I won't.
No, mom's listening. You want 2 stars. Come on.
Yeah,
let's
right.
Get that going.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.